From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Higher Human Consciousness with William Henry. Get ready for that. Here's what's happening. Iran will target NATO's missile defense installations in Turkey if the U.S. or Israel attacks the Islamic Republic. The general out there said that they are warning everyone that this is part of their new defense strategy to counter what they describe as an increase in threats from the U.S. and Israel. Tensions have been rising, of course, between Iran and the West since the release of a report earlier this month by the International Atomic Energy Agency that said for the first time Iran was suspected of conducting secret experiments whose sole purpose was to develop nuclear arms. Meanwhile, its defense minister is telling their volunteers that Israel has to be punished for what it has done to the Muslims in Palestine, and they say Israel would be attacked with 150,000 missiles if it launches any military action against Iran. Jerome Corsi, one of his books, Atomic Iran, on with us here. Jerry, first of all, does Iran have 150,000 missiles?
I really doubt it, George. I think it's an exaggeration. It's the kind of bombast we'd expect from the Iranians boasting of their military prowess. But it does indicate pretty clearly that if Israel attacks Iran, Iran is prepared to retaliate. And I think that's pretty clear. I've been warning for years that a war that's coming with Iran will be a very, very difficult and unpredictable regional war before it's done.
I hear the drums of war, Jerry. How about you?
Oh, absolutely, George. I mean, look, we've had these two explosions just recently in Isfahan, which is the city in which Iran is producing, actually enriching uranium, and also the military base outside of Iran. I've seen pictures now, satellite pictures of that military base. It was absolutely leveled, the one that killed something like 17 Revolutionary Guard, including one of their top, Iran's top missile experts. It's very possible some of these explosions may be triggered by Israel. And the tension's just growing every day. I mean, I expect almost any day we could wake up and find that there is a war going on between Iran and Israel, and almost any incident could trigger it, even an incident in the Gaza or something with Hezbollah coming out of Lebanon. It's a tinderbox right now in the Middle East, and with the United States getting economically weaker and pulling forces out of the Middle East, I think it's going to be very tempting for Iran to step into the vacuum with aggressive action.
I think so too, Jerry. What's your guess? I think maybe by Christmas.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me, George. It's so imminent. I mean, I expect every day now the tensions are rising. Now we've got explosions going on in Iran. We've got threats from the Iranian Minister of Defense against Israel. We've got the International Atomic Energy Agency really in a powerless position, although they're warning that Iran is clearly on the path to a nuclear weapon very quickly. Continuing reports that North Korea is supplying both Iran and Syria with nuclear technology. This situation, George, is now at a critical point, and it's like, 30 seconds to midnight on a clock before a war starts.
All right, Jerry, my friend, stay in touch with us. We'll see what happens down the line. It's good to know you're with us. We can always turn to Jerry Corsi in the event of any impending or breaking news. The Senate set the vote on a bill. Now, listen to this one. That would define the whole of the United States as a battlefield and allow the U.S. military to arrest American citizens in their own backyard without trial or without charge. Alex Jones, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Alex, this is an unbelievable story, and you've had it on your website for some time now.
Well, we've been tracking for a long time that this transcends administrations and parties. The move towards using the military domestically in America, and of course we've gotten the internal government documents that have made national news where the real anti-terror program is for returning vets, gun owners, libertarians, people like that. And now the National Defense Authorization Act bill set to be voted on as early as tomorrow or Wednesday, at the latest by Thursday or Friday, actually says in it that they can arrest, detain American citizens, never give you a trial. And, of course, we've seen examples of U.S. citizens being killed by drones and things. Well, now they're moving this precedent here. And, of course, remember, we were told the Patriot Act would never be used against non-terror-related cases. And now it's used thousands of times a year on marijuana cases, family violence, you name it. But we have an 1878 law, Posse Comitatus, against using the military domestically because people know how incredibly dangerous it is. The founding fathers were against it, had laws passed, but those were ignored. So we had to pass the new law. And basically, the military-industrial complex is not controlled by America. Our troops are great people on average. The mega banks that are openly announcing this world government want to basically keep their ill-gotten gains here in America and not be brought to justice like Ken Lay or Bernie Madoff. And so that's why they have this. And so we saw spin over the weekend when the ACLU, Ron Paul, and, of course, my website, Infowars.com, all warned about this. We saw spin from senators and the Defense Department saying, no, citizens are exempt. But then Congressman and a Republican told the Grand Rapids Press, Justin Amash, Congressman, said that this is carefully crafted to mislead the public because later in the subsections it says, yes, citizens are exempt unless the Defense Department wants to strip you extrajudicially of your citizenship. And in the Military Commissions Act and other orders that are out there, they say they can torture and even execute American citizens. So this is beyond the gulag, and we're told it's for al-Qaeda. But even the London Telegraph reported today, al-Qaeda has officially been given Libya and is now going to be given Syria. They've sent the top al-Qaeda commander, that's NATO, in to southern Syria to prepare the takedown of that country. Folks, al-Qaeda is a cutout of these mega banks to basically be used as a way to kill the Bill of Rights and Constitution. But the American people are the target. We have got to beat this bill. We've got to defeat it. We've seen Marines running checkpoints and things around the country. We've seen this attempt for a long time to get us ready to accept this and go along with this. We had the Stars and Stripes 3 years ago admit Brigade Homeland, the military is preparing to pull triggers on Americans, and that made a big controversy.
And when are they going to vote on this, Alex? This week?
They said yes. The Senate said it could have been as early as Monday or right through Friday, but it's the major National Defense Authorization Act bill, and so it is the major piece of legislation right now for the entire defense funding. I mean, look, going back in closing to 2007, in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, they actually state that they're preparing Homeland Security and the Pentagon for revolt by the states and even governors. That's why they made the Governors Council so that the 50 states aren't listened to, the 10 puppet governors are. Now they have the Rural Council. Folks, they're really looking at dropping the hammer on this when they steal all the pension funds and bank accounts. If you complain about the mega banks taking your pension fund, here comes the U.S. Army. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened in Nazi Germany is preparing to happen in America. This is an emergency situation.
And I would think, Alex, that the American military will not act if they're pushed into this, but we'll see what happens. You know, you would think that Oklahoma is falling apart. Back on November 5th, they had a 5.6 magnitude earthquake. Well, they've had many, many more. The latest just a day or so ago, 3.2. Now, that's not large, but there's just way too many. It's the sixth earthquake in 4 days in Oklahoma. Sad story here. Listen to this. A hunter who accidentally shot and killed his friend was so devastated he turned the rifle on himself and killed himself. Benjamin Birch, 39-year-old, Timothy Bogliani, 49-year-old, and another, they were all hunting in Vermont when Birch apparently shot a deer. The wounded animal managed to escape, and the men began tracking it through the woods. He then fired at what he thought was the deer. Instead, he hit Birch. Birch screamed in pain. He found him dying. He died, and then Bogliani apparently shot himself to death because he was just too distraught over that situation. The Federal Reserve and the big banks fought for more than 2 years to keep details of the largest bailout in U.S. history a secret. Now the rest of the world can see what it was all missing. The Fed didn't tell anyone which banks were in trouble so deep that they required now apparently a $1.2 trillion buyout. The bankers didn't mention that they took tens of billions of dollars in emergency loans, and they also reaped in $13 billion of income by taking advantage of the Fed's below market rates. Now it can be told. Look for Apple to eventually come out with an ITV. This device, you might not even need a clicker. You just might say, hey, turn it to this channel, and it will. They're all speculating just exactly what it's going to be like, but manufacturing in Japan is starting in February. Archaeologists have discovered two new pits at the mysterious Stonehenge site that shed potential light on its ritual use. The pits are aligned in a celestial pattern. We'll talk with William Henry about this. The rock formations formed at least 5,000 years ago. A former police officer accused of theft in the U.S. stunned a court when he blamed a ghost in his basement. Joseph Hughes from Mount Gilead, Ohio, faced 21 charges against him, including stealing 12 air conditioning units, a 6,000-watt generator, and a welder. But after the stolen articles were found in his basement, he gave a paranormal defense and said a ghost did it. The court was not convinced, and Hughes was found guilty, and off he went. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. This hour, we're going to be talking about dangerous instincts. We're going to talk about your gut, your instincts. Mary Ellen O'Toole, PhD, retired from the FBI in 2009, where she worked as one of the FBI's most senior and accomplished profilers. During her career, she worked on many high-profile cases. They included the Elizabeth Smart abduction, the Unabomber case, the Green River Killer, the Natalie Holloway investigation. She teaches at the FBI National Academy, lectures at the very prestigious Smithsonian Museum, and is also a sought-after speaker all over the world to law enforcement groups, government agencies, universities, and schools. We're going to talk about profiling, but how you can use this for yourself and not use your gut or your emotions. Here's Mary Ellen O'Toole on Coast to Coast. How was Thanksgiving, Mary Ellen?
It was very nice. Thank you.
Great, great. You know, I use my gut and instincts a lot in the things I do. Is that the wrong thing to do?
Well, when you say you use your gut and your instincts, I would ask you, like, specific situations, because my sense is what you're actually doing is making assessments or decisions based on a lot of life experiences that you've had and a lot of training and expertise in the particular areas.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I'll do it on events. We'll do it on events. We'll do it on, different kinds of things. I also do it sometimes when I meet people, and when I meet these folks, I draw conclusions very, very quickly. And you, as a profiler, of course, you have looked at this for a long, long time as well. And with your work, Dangerous Instincts, it must have been a pretty incredible journey for you in order to do that. Now, one of the things that I have used when I do profiling, for example, is, I will make a very fast decision on exactly what is going on and how that is accomplished. And, that is what I've used all my life, and it works. Now, in your particular case, you have said that using the principles of profiling, people will learn how to make decisions that are not based on guts and emotions. You believe that the profiling, of course, is very necessary. So, Mary Ellen, tell me this. When people are trying to profile someone, are they doing it to help themselves primarily, and is that important?
When you say profile, what people are doing, you're actually saying, I think people are trying to read other people and trying to assess other people. And so it could be doing it to determine, do I get in the car and take a ride from this person? Do I let my children go and have a sleepover at the coach's house? So it could be for a variety of reasons that people want to really figure out what makes somebody tick. And you may call that profiling, but it's really sizing somebody up to know whether or not they could pose a danger to us or someone in our family.
Fascinating. Now, you wrote a book called Dangerous Instincts. Tell me why.
Well, so many times working as a profiler, people would always ask, well, what is it that you do and how do you do it and how do you read people and how do you know if somebody is a potential threat or a potential danger to you? And I realized that a lot of the techniques and the process that we used in the FBI would be really helpful to everyday situations and for people that weren't profilers or didn't have the opportunity to get the training and experience that we had. But still, they need to have that ability to sit down and talk to somebody, to size them up, to get a feel for them. So the purpose in really writing the book was to, for people that wanted to do that, to really help them in just everyday life.
What are gut feelings, in your opinion?
Well, gut feelings, in my opinion, are, if they're not based on experience and education and training, it's really much more of a mystical barometer. And if I ask somebody, where is your gut, they may point to the middle of their stomach. But when you ask, well, how do you improve your gut instincts? There's no course. You can't take a course at UCLA or the University of Illinois and improve your gut. You don't know when your gut's having a good day or a bad day, or how I can compare my gut to your gut, and why is there a difference between the two, or maybe your gut is better on some things than it is on others. So it really can be a very mystical barometer, and yet many people will say they rely on their gut instincts to make life-changing decisions, and sometimes decisions that can be fatal when you're really talking about something that we really don't know very much about.
Now, of course, you've had a career in law enforcement. Let's talk a little bit about psychopaths and how people can use this trait in that. First of all, if somebody's a psychopath, that doesn't mean they're murderers or serial killers, right?
No. In fact, the estimate is about 1% of the general population would have the traits of psychopathy. And having said that, most psychopaths are not, in fact, dangerous.
What are they? What's the makeup of a psychopath?
Psychopaths are, a mental disorder. It's not a mental illness, so that's important because these are people that are not out of touch with reality, and they know right from wrong. And there are 20 distinct traits of a psychopath that really set them apart from other people. But the hallmark of psychopathy, and it cannot be confused with the word sociopathy, that's an archaic term from the late 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
The hallmark of psychopaths or psychopathy is that these are people without a conscience. So they have no guilt for their actions. They're putting their money into your 401k and investing it and losing it and walking away saying, geez, you know, if you hadn't have given me the money to invest, I wouldn't have lost it. So, but they feel no guilt or remorse for what they do, regardless of whether they're cheating on their spouse, poorly investing your money, or committing serial murder. They walk away with a kick in their step saying, oh, well, it's all about me.
What made them the way they are?
Well, there's a lot of empirical research going on right now in this whole area of psychopaths and psychopathy, and some of the most compelling current research does suggest that there, in some cases, is a genetic link, but that doesn't mean that people will necessarily be predisposed if they have a relative or a parent, but it does really underscore the importance of nature and nurture, which has been a long-time argument. Is it nature or nurture? And in some cases, we know with psychopaths that it may be, for example, if you're a psychopath and I'm a psychopath, you may be 40% nurture and I'm 60%.
Mm-hmm.
It varies from person to person, but there's a strong indication that there is a genetic link to the disorder.
Would we get along? Would we get along if we were both psychopaths?
Probably not so much, because if we're both psychopaths, the world revolves around me and I'm the greatest thing, and so I don't really have room for you in my world. And what's interesting is when psychopaths pair up as criminals, they often pair up with non-psychopaths, but that makes sense. Again, if the world is all about you, there can't be two of us in there.
I want to ask you about that when we come back. Mary Ellen O'Toole, and we'll talk more about your gut feelings on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, investigative mythologist William Henry joins us as we talk about higher consciousness and some of William's latest work. So make sure you're part of that right around the corner here on Coast to Coast AM. Got an email from James Vossel, and he writes, I just want to share this with you. George, love the show. I've been a Coast Insider for years, rarely miss a show. I podcast all the programs, listen while I work, and I learn so much. I feel like I get double benefits for my time this way. It's great. Thanks so much. You too can become a Coast Insider and do just what James did for less than 25 cents a day, with our goal of 2,500 new insiders every month. November wrapping up. We'll be starting December earlier this week. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com. At the top, there's a little verbiage there that says Coast Insider. You can become a member of the club when you click that and fill out the information, and on you go. You're on your way. And we will be back with Mary Ellen O'Toole, your phone calls, and more on gut feelings on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Mary Ellen O'Toole. We're talking about her work, Dangerous Instincts. So what should people rely on, Mary Ellen, instead of their gut in most cases?
Well, in most cases, and it depends on the possible, you know, consequences or repercussions, people want to rely on behavior, and they want to rely on the type of information and the quality and the extent of the information that they have about someone. So, in other words, just looking at someone and they're nicely dressed, they have a good job, married with children, is that really enough to say this person doesn't pose a threat if you're thinking about whether or not to send your child over to their house for a sleepover? Well, no, it doesn't. So you have to go beyond the superficial indicators of what we accept as normal to really make a decision that could have some serious consequences. If the decision is to just, buy something over the counter from someone, then that's not a big deal. But some decisions people make every day can really have life-changing repercussions for their child, themselves, or their family. And so it is important to understand what is some of the behavior that people will exhibit if they could be a danger to you or to your child or family.
Okay, what are some of the things we should look out for specifically?
Well, you want to look for, depending on the circumstances, you want to go beyond what's superficial. That's first and foremost. And you want to look at how have you made decisions about people in the past, and have they been good or not so great. But you want to take a look at what is beyond the kind of house that they live in. What are, for example, if you're considering sending your child over for a sleepover, you want to know who else is going to have access to that home. You would want to know in that circumstance whether or not there are drugs and alcohol that would be available, or a dangerous dog, or weapons that are not properly locked away, or when the front door is closed, do the parents engage in bullying behavior, or do the other kids engage in bullying behavior? Is there sexual abuse that goes on in that home that people would be so surprised about if they knew about it on the outside? So in that situation, those are the kinds of behaviors that you'd want to be aware of before you gave that family 8 hours of your child unprotected.
Okay, we'll take some calls here in just a moment with folks who are really interested in talking with you. Back to the psychopaths for a moment. So we've agreed that they're not physically dangerous in every instinct, but they can still hurt you in economic ways and other ways as well. What percent do you think, Mary Ellen, are psychopaths?
Well, the estimate is 1% of the general population, and probably 10% of the prison population would meet the criteria of being a psychopath.
Okay, let's go to Joe in Reading, Pennsylvania. And you're on Coast to Coast, Joe. Go ahead.
It's a great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I went to a temperament class here in Pennsylvania. It was fantastic. And I am an employer in Pennsylvania. And we were told to ask one question. I wanted to get your guest's response to this. For any person that an employer is thinking about hiring, the question that needs to be asked is, tell us a mistake that you made at a previous employer's work. And we were told that there are some people that can't admit and won't say that they ever made a mistake. And I was wondering if that was indicative of a psychopath personality, somebody that can't admit a mistake.
That's a great question, but no, that would not be indicative of a psychopath. And the reason that I say that is a psychopath could hear that question and say, you know what, I better say yes to that question, because psychopaths are known for being what we call impression managers. They really want you, they want to manage the impression that you have of them. So if someone is truthful with a question, they probably, even more reason that's not indicative of a psychopath. It's
Tell
a great
me about,
question, though.
What is icon intimidation? What does that mean?
Icon intimidation is someone in a position of status or authority because of their job, their wealth, their position, their importance in the community, that we give them a lot more, we give them the benefit of the doubt in a situation. So we may say, well, he couldn't hurt me because he's a minister, or he's a coach, or he's so wealthy, or they go to my church. And if we start giving people an awful lot of benefit of the doubt because of their position, then we may be caught up in icon intimidation.
Interesting. Would Ted Bundy, Mary Ellen, have been a psychopath, serial killer?
Yes. In order to assess for psychopathy, it's a paper and pencil test. That's very important to make sure I explain. But in the case of Ted Bundy, he was not given that test, so we would have to infer it from his behavior. But there are people, most of us would say that Ted was very much a psychopath, although probably not the most psychopathic person I've ever met, but he would definitely, I think, meet the criteria for a psychopath.
Are these people good liars? I mean, are they that slick that most people would go, wow, this guy's great, or whatever?
Well, they're not just slick liars. It's actually one of the 20 traits of psychopathy. They're known as pathological liars. They lie about everything, even if whatever they're talking about is not important.
Right.
They absolutely are pathological liars, and they're very proud of the fact that they can be so deceptive.
So they know they're doing it.
They absolutely know, but they're not concerned about it, and they don't do a lot of kind of self-assessment, where I've been asked before, do they really believe their lies? Do they really think about their lives? They don't really give a darn about their lives. So they're not sitting there thinking, I just pulled a fast one past George,
right,
and he'll never realize it.
Because some people actually believe their own lies.
Some people would believe their own lives, but that's not what we're talking about here. People that kind of are deluding themselves, like they live in kind of this, you know, world of, you know, make-believe. It's not that. It's just that they lie about everything. And what actually is stirring in their heads when they're doing that, you know, I can't tell you that I know, certainly in every case. I just know that I've interviewed a lot of psychopaths. When you confront them with their lives, they're like, their lies, they'll say, well, you know, whatever. They don't care.
No remorse.
No remorse. No remorse and no empathy. And that's, they can behave like they have empathy and cry and tears coming out of their eyes and so forth, but they don't have empathy and they have no remorse.
Mary Ellen, what the heck got you involved in this field? How'd this happen?
But, I mean, isn't it an exciting-sounding field when you think about sitting across the table from people like Ted Bundy and the Green River Killer? I mean, it doesn't get any more interesting. But I've always been interested in criminal behavior and in what motivates someone to act in such a, in most cases, a violent or extreme way. And it just seemed to be a natural kind of an evolution for me.
Do you have access to some of these people now?
Those
that are still around?
Yes, I have gone into prison since I've retired and interviewed several people. It's and they're very willing to talk, and they're very happy to talk to you. They actually like to talk to you. They like to brag about themselves and boast about who they are and what they've done. Yes.
Would you be interested in going on some of these interviews with me, and we'd go into these prisons, but we would be airing it on this program?
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, if you have the access, see, that's something I've never been able to do. Our producers, for example, would love to get me in to talk to Charlie Manson or Sirhan Sirhan or just about anybody that you might know of notoriety. But, you know, with somebody like you, we might be able to just go in there together and we'll both do the interview and you school me on some things and then we'll air it on the program.
Well, you know, where I know the prisons are cracking down a lot more on the kinds of interviews that they are allowing inside their institutions, and that's always been kind of a hurdle. But I think for people, for your listeners to actually hear from these individuals themselves about who they are and what they think of themselves and other people, it just can't be anything other than educating. It's just such an eye-opener.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine in Los Angeles, Russ Regan. He's a very well-known music producer in L.A. And, you know, he was approached by Charlie Manson before Charlie Manson was the Charlie Manson about him wanting to do his music. And we played a clip of Charlie Manson's, one of his songs, many, many months ago. But I just found that to be fascinating, to get into the mind of someone. And then also to see what could be a trigger in their minds. Because what would have happened to Charlie Manson had his music been good enough where people said, yeah, we'll do this, or we'll sell this record for you, or we'll promote you? I wonder if he would have changed. What do you think?
Well, I don't. I think that would have fueled his egotism and his sense of grandiosity. But for Charlie, He is into power and control and manipulation, again, traits of psychopathy. So I think we still would have seen him take a very similar course to the one that he did take. And it's pretty amazing when you think about Charlie Manson, because he's in prison because really of the actions of other people, but he controlled those actions. And these young people that followed him, basically their whole lives have been ruined because they were so gullible and so, you know, trusting and followed everything that he said, yet they're the ones that committed the murder. So, I mean, to be that kind of a
psychopath.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Let's go to Patrick in Chicago, Illinois. Good morning, Patrick. Go ahead.
Hi, first time caller. It's been a long time. I've listened to the show. It's great.
Glad you got to speak, Pat.
The topic that I have, it touched home with me. I was actually taken by a sociopath. I almost got married to one. yeah. She took me for all it was worth. She saw me coming from a mile away. And there's a lot of things that you were just talking about as far as the traits go. One of the things she would say is that she was a country singer and she wanted to retire. And I wasn't really much into that country. I didn't know so much about it. But for some reason, she was known a lot in the southern parts of the states. And
so you assumed she was, right?
Yeah. I mean, something so elaborate, I couldn't imagine it would have been a lie. I didn't even try to find out if it was true. And then she even went out of her way to show me tapes of someone singing, but it wasn't her.
But she presented it. She presented it as her.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Even told me lies in front of her daughter to make me believe them, and even little ones, just like you guys were talking about, is that were really didn't matter if she said them or not.
When did you find out, Patrick? How did this all collapse?
Well, you know, when they say you had little red flags, I had a choice to make, either to see the red flags for what they were, or try to trust her when she would say that I was, you know, when I was getting close to catching her in a lie, she would get mad and make me feel bad. That was one of the things she did most of the time, was to get angry if I ever caught on to what she was doing. Whether it was with, because I would basically give her hand over my paycheck.
Oh, sure.
She would put it, what we agreed to, she would put it into an account that her daughter had that we could get into quarterly. But I never had it, you know, I was never looking to take it out. It was supposed to go towards our living expenses and our marriage.
And it went to her.
I never saw it, and I was never able to actually prove it because...
Well, let's get Mary Ellen's advice on this and insight on this. I guess women can get taken by guys and vice versa, Mary Ellen. It happens all the time, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And psychopaths can be either male or female. Although we know that there are more men who are psychopaths, it still exists in both genders, and it exists all over the world. So the research is great because it crosses cultural lines and racial lines, and it represents, every country in the world. But yes, it certainly can happen, and I've had cases where the women are the psychopaths, and you know, the damage they can do. They may not be serial killers, but they can do a great deal of damage. And I heard you talking about this woman and her lying and her manipulation. And the thing with psychopaths that you can look at, in addition to doing, you know, reading about them, is they have a trail of havoc that they leave behind them. They don't go to some people and treat them real normally and fine. They have a pattern of behavior that exists, and it usually starts to manifest like in their early teen years into the early 20s. But that pattern of psychopathic behavior will follow them throughout the rest of their life. And that's what you want to look at when you're looking at someone that you know and maybe loved and want to find out if they are a psychopath, because it's not likely you'd be able to give them a paper and pencil test.
You know, I've tried to tell my kids, for example, and what I try to live by is just lay it out there. You know, just tell the truth. People might not like it, but at least be honest about it. The only thing that I will probably hold back on, Mary Ellen, and you tell me if this is right or wrong, I don't want to hurt people. So if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, Drew, how do you like this dress I'm wearing at this party? If I really don't like it, I'll still say, hey, that looks great on you or something. I just don't want to hurt people. But now, is that different?
Oh, it's so different, because you're really showing the reason for you doing that is for empathy and compassion. You don't want to hurt somebody. And kind of on a personal level, I've always felt that when you have someone that can demonstrate empathy and compassion, you can get over a lot of problems with that person, because those traits are so vital to how they will treat other people and how they view other people. But in the absence of compassion and empathy, man, if you're with somebody that does not have those, who does not have those traits, you're probably in for a world of hurt. So in your case, it's really because of your empathy and kindness that you are basically telling them a white lie.
Let's take a minute to talk about the book, Dangerous Instincts. Where can you get it? And what will people find when they do read it?
Oh, great. Well, you can go. I have a website, and on there it gives the different locations where you can buy the books, like Books a Million and Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I think when people read it, they'll walk away with different messages. But the essence of the book is, if you want to improve on how you read people and how you read situations and use some of the techniques that we used as FBI profilers, I think you will find Dangerous Instincts interesting and also very helpful in a variety of situations. And it's for every age range and for every type of occupation, for men and women, it doesn't matter. It will give you some skills that will help you in understanding behavior a lot better, and if you already are good at it, I think it will even help you be better.
Super, and your website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's Mary Ellen O'Toole with an E at the end .com, but we got it linked at coasttocoastam.com. Mary Ellen, thank you. Let's go try to interview Bernie Madoff. Let's start with him. Go to work for us, and let's see what we can do. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with William Henry, the investigative mythologist on Coast to Coast AM.